Well, turn with me to Psalm 119, and today we shall consider verses 17 to 19, appreciation of the Word of God. We own our lives to God's mercy. Now, if you were to read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, or rather 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Here we read, which in time past were not a people. Before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, before we became a Christian, we were not a people of God. But then we read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, Paul said the same thing. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which are called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We were lost in the world. We were condemned. We were hopeless. But now, as we read the second part of 1 Peter chapter 2, but now, the people of God, now we have become the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And back in Ephesians chapter 2, here we read in verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then also in verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We own truly our lives to God's mercy. If God has not dealt with us bountifully, we would have perished long time ago. The psalmist says again in Psalm 103, verses 8 to 10, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now here we see the bountifulness of God. He is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy, like a fountain that never runs nor dry. He does not always strive with us, nor does he keep his anger forever. Well, we read in Psalm 30 verse 5, even in this morning's scripture reading, his anger endures but a moment. His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So he does not keep his anger forever, and his nature is such that he does not deal with us according to our sin and punish us according to our iniquities. And because of God's bountiful dealing with David, he lifted up his voice to sing praises to God of his salvation. In Psalm 13 verse 6, And he exclaimed in Psalm 116 verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord, Jehovah God, for all his benefits towards me?" God indeed has done so much for us. And the greatest act of all was giving his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sin. As the psalmist exclaimed in Psalm 40 verse 5, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us what? They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I will declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." The blessings of God are uncountable. There is no way that you can count his blessing. Remember that wonderful hymn, "Count your blessings and name them one by one, and you will be surprised what the Lord has done for you." So there is no ending to counting God's bountiful blessing. And if you were to say that I have nothing to give thanks to God, that's a lie. That's a blatant lie. If you were to be quiet before the Lord and just to reflect upon his goodness, his faithfulness, his providence, his care, his protection, his daily providence, providential care, and so forth, you will have many things to give thanks to God. And so here we read in Psalm 119, verse 17, David said, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word." Now, why did David ask God to deal liberally with him? Well, the answer is found in the latter part of this verse. "In order that I may live and keep thy word." If God were to deal with us, or deal with him, as he dealt with the sons of Samuel, you know the sons of Samuel, Joel and Abiah, and they were corrupt judges, and they did a lot of sin against the Lord, and God judged his son. Or the sons of Eli, the son of Eli also did a lot of wicked things to God's people, and despise, you know, God's sacrifice and so forth. Or Ananias or Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. If God were to deal with David as he dealt with these people, then he would not stand a chance to live. You remember in Acts chapter 5 how Ananias and Sapphira told a lie and they were struck dead. And if God were to deal with us like in the early church, every Lord's Day you will see someone being struck dead, like partaking the Lord's Supper. You read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning, and many of them fell asleep. They were not literally fell asleep, they were struck dead because of sin, because of partaking the Lord's Supper unworthily. And so from this angle, we can see that God indeed is a gracious God, and he was gracious to David. And here John Calvin said, "The prophet asked as a principal favor that while he lives, he may devote himself entirely to God." And this is what David did. He asked God to deal with him bountifully, liberally, generously, so that he may live and keep God's word. Now, question one of the shorter catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? And you know the answer. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now, writing to the Corinthians, Paul says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink whatsoever ye do, Do all to the glory of God. Can you imagine? Even your drinking and your eating, we need to do so to the glory of God. And so how did you eat this afternoon lunch? Did you gobble all the food? Or did you what? So, whatever that we do, we are to do all to the glory of God. And Christians are called not only to live holy life, but also to know God and His Word. For knowing His Word means keeping His Word. And keeping His Word means doing His will. Therefore, let us not forget that our lives belong to God. And while we are still alive on earth, let us devote ourselves wholly to God and His service. Thank God for His mercy, and thank God for dealing with us liberally. And then he goes on to say in verse 18, open down my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now when it comes to the reading of God's word, what is the first thing that you would do? Well, perhaps some of us may say a prayer, and that's good. However, it is not enough just to say a prayer or any prayer. Lord, bless me in the reading of the word. You need to pray a specific prayer. And here David prayed specifically to God to open his eyes. Not his physical eyes, but his spiritual eyes, that he might behold wonderful things from the word of God. And this is what you and I need to do whenever we come to the reading of God's word. We need to ask God to open our spiritual eyes. Some of us may have four eyes, but we still cannot see. And so we need to ask God to open our spiritual eyes so that we may behold wonderful things from God's word. And in the book of Ephesians, we read about Paul praying for the Ephesians, specifically in Ephesians chapter 1, 18 and 19. Pray for them specifically that God might enlighten them so that they might know what is the hope of the calling of God is, what riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints are, and what are the surpassing greatness of God's power toward or is towards us who believe. Do you know how blessed or how blessed you are in Christ? We read in Ephesians 1 verse 3, Paul says that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Ephesians 1 7, in whom you have redemption, in whom all your sins are forgiven, in Christ. So can you see how blessed we are in Christ? That we are so blessed with all these riches in Christ. In fact, Romans say that Paul said in Romans that we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Think about it. We do not need to live a defeated Christian life. We are more than conquerors. But sad to say, multitudes of Christians today run from one Bible conference to another, hoping to be revitalized or empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying that Bible conferences are bad. God can use them to revive, refresh, or rekindle His people's love for Him. However, I'm referring to those who believe that spiritual vitality or awakening or spiritual revivals depends on attending Bible conferences. Oh no. The Bible tells us that spiritual vitality depends on the realization or the benefits of salvation which God has bestowed upon His people. Do you realize that your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, we do not just want to know it here, but we want to know it in our hearts. Know it in what we call experiential knowledge. Not intuitive knowledge, but experiential knowledge. And once you realize how blessed you are in Christ, your whole Christian life will change. And you will experience mighty revival within yourself. Do you know the power of God operating in and through you? Do you know how to appropriate God's promises in your lives? You do not need to run here and there looking for revival. You just need to understand what God's word says and apply it in our lives, and you will experience spiritual vitality, spiritual revival in your own life. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit plays a vital role in our Christian life. He is the author of the Holy Scriptures. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He will guide us into all the truth. He will teach us and He will bring to remembrance the things that we have learned from Him. And Paul tells us that no man can know the things of God except the Holy Spirit of God. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That if we have the Spirit of God in us, then the Spirit of God will reveal to us the things of God. And when we read the Scriptures, we will interpret the Scriptures in a spiritual way. We'll look at it from God's perspective, not from an academic perspective. The Holy Spirit not only guides, teaches, directs, convicts, but He also reveals, enlightens, and illuminates us on the Holy Scriptures. Well, it's said that the church has many spiritual blinded Christians. As Hebrews, put it in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Many of these Hebrew believers have become dull of hearing, or have become insensitive to what God is saying to them. So when you read the Scriptures, do you feel dull? It's just like the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And Jesus came along and joined them. And they were talking about the day's happening. And Jesus pretended not knowing what's going on. And they didn't realize. They didn't realize that they were talking to Jesus. Until they invited Him to join Him for dinner. And then they realized that. We read that in the Gospel of St. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And this is something that I'd like you to know as I read. In Luke 24, verse 25, this is a comment given by Jesus. He said that, "Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into His glory?" And He began to explain to them from Moses and all the prophets, and also the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. And then we read in verse 31, alright, having joined them for dinner, in verse 31, Jesus broke bread with them and so forth. And 31 says, "And their eyes were opened," their spiritual eyes, not the physical eyes, their spiritual eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And this is what they said to themselves, or to one another. "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures?" Well, are we dull in hearing the Word of God? We need a second touch. We need a second touch. You remember the story in Mark chapter 8. A blind man met Jesus And Jesus made clay, and then spit on it, made clay, and applied it on the blind man's eyes. And Jesus asked him, "Do you see anything?" What did the blind man say? "I see men as coconut trees." Trees, not coconut trees. And then he touched him another time. "What do you see?" "I see men as men." You know, sometimes we walk around, we see so many people. I think outside the tree there is what's Mabel tree, right? We see all these people like trees, but we don't see them as lost souls. We don't see them as people going to hell without knowing Christ. Nobody can know His Word unless the Spirit of God revealed it to them. And here we read a wonderful verse from Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, and this is what Jesus said. "I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Therefore, there is a need of divine illumination to enable us to profit from the Word of God. And that is why we need to pray specifically to God to open our spiritual eyes to behold wonderful things from His Word. We need a second touch. We need a second touch." And then he goes on to say in verse 19, "I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me." Well, let's take the first part of the verse. "I am a stranger in the earth." Well, as what we have read just now, Christians are strangers and pilgrims on earth. The saints of old considered themselves as strangers and pilgrims on earth. Having left their own country, they desire a better one. That is a heavenly one which God has promised or prepared for them. We read, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter of faith. Right, Hebrews 11. Let me read to you verse 13 of Hebrews 11. Here we read, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Well, you and I are looking for a heavenly city. We read in the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, you know, the first three verses, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." While Jesus was about to be crucified and about to leave them, and obviously the disciples were sad. And so Jesus comforted them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, if there is no heaven, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and here's a promise, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." These are words of assurance and comfort, words of encouragement. And every Christian has a place, has a dwelling place in heaven. Every Christian knows his final destiny. Do you know your final destiny? Are you sure that you will spend your eternity with God? Do you know where you are going? Do you have that assurance within your heart that I know where I'm going the moment I close my eyes? And here, Jesus says that I go and prepare a place for you, but I will come back and receive you. For where am I? You will be also. So there is no fear. No fear in us. No fear of death. Why? Because we know where we are going the moment we close our eyes. Just like the saints of old, they all died in faith. They all considered themselves as pilgrims and strangers on earth. But they know where they are going. So every Christian needs to be reminded that the world is a wilderness or a desert through which he is hastening passing. As the chorus says, this world is not my home, I am just what? A passing through. We're just passing through. So make sure you don't build your empire on earth. Make sure you don't build your kingdom on earth. Make sure you don't accumulate too much on earth in the sense that what Jesus says, that more than what will come and get rust. Where your heart is, where your treasure is where your heart is. But remember, we are passing through. Moreover, we do not know when the Lord will call us home. Some people can drop dates in the church, or while you're growing up, you can drop dates. Anytime the Lord can call us home. So let us have this in mind that this world is not our home. Our home is in heaven. So we are just passing through. Yes, the world is not our home. Our home is in heaven, which is far better. That's what Paul said in Philippians 1:21. A place far better. Alright, a place far better. And then the second part of it, he said, hide not thy commandments from me. Well, what was that that cheered and guided the psalmist or David in his journeys on earth? The answer is the word of God, the commandments of God. What was that that motivated the saints of old to long for a better country? The answer is the promises of God. That's what we read just now in verse 13 of Hebrews 11. The psalmist realized the seriousness of God hiding his word from him. Look at the text again. Hide not thy commandments from me. Alright? The latter part of this verse means God was not speaking. If God is hiding his commandment from him, that means God is not speaking. God is silent. And when God is silent, we're in big trouble. If God is not speaking to you, how then are you going to live a life that is pleasing in his sight? How then are you going to live on this earth? You do not have the word of God, and you will live on your principles, or the principles of the world, or the wisdom of the world. So David was fearful. He prayed, hide not your word from me. Do not stop speaking to me. Speak to me. And being a stranger on earth, he knew how important the word of God is to him. Without the word, he would not know the word of God or what direction to take. He would be lost in the wilderness. He would stumble and fumble along the way. That is why he pleaded with God not to keep his word from him. Martin Luther said this, I have no inheritance beyond thy word, therefore forsake me not. I think we need to remind ourselves that we are indeed strangers on earth. We have the word of God to guide us, and we need the word of God to guide us. And the word of God and the promises of God will keep us going till we finish our journey on earth and see Jesus face to face. So, brethren, may I encourage you to read the word. Find comfort in the word. Find victory in the word. Find direction. Find guidance in the word. it find counsel in the word. That's what we read in verse 24. We will consider that verse on the next week. So pray that God will not hide His word from us. God will not keep silent and not speaking to us. Pray that whenever you read the word, God will open your spiritual eyes and you will see, you will behold wonderful things from His word. And when He showed it to you, live by the word. Live by the word. And you will be blessed by Him.